Hey, listeners, you are about to experience one of our exclusive episodes recorded at Missionary in Jacksonville. We're excited about Missionary Conference. If you want to listen to all of the interviews that we've captured all at once before they premiere in the main podcast feed, we're talking conversations with Jim Renahan, Paul Washer, Conrad Mbewe, and more. If you want to get all of those now, go to missionspodcast.com/premium, and you'll be able to get them all in advance before anyone else does. And use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get your first month of premium membership for free. So again, go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get it for free for the first month, and you'll get access to everything. And now, enjoy this exclusive episode from Missionary. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. Coming to you from Missionary here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm here in person with Scott Dunford. We've got Conrad Mbewe coming to us for, this is technically your second or third time on the show, but the first time in person, and we're so glad to have you again.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. And what do you think of the weather here in Florida compared to what you're used to in Zambia?
It's great. Yeah. I've just taken a walk outside there, and it's really been like home.
Yeah.
A bit humid, yes. But it's fine.
It's a little swampy. Yeah. That is true. That's true. And you'll be speaking later in the course of the conference on William Tyndale and his convictions about the Word of God. Tell us a little bit about what Tyndale believed about God's word. The whole conference is framed in light of the fact that it's the 500 year anniversary of his work, and yet there's so many languages that don't have scripture in their heart language.
Yeah. Well, first of all, as I have been revising on his life and appreciating afresh his convictions, it's fairly evident that he was a man of one passion. He lived for the Word of God. There were a lot of other areas of life he would have gone into. He was clearly educated, quite an intellect that he possessed, and he was already in the realm of tutoring and teaching. But the reality that gripped him the most was the inaccessibility of the Word of God to the common people. Mm. By that time, there were a number of translations around into English, but they were all from the Latin. And it was forbidden for anybody to have access to those. But as an individual who studied no less than 8 languages, and Greek being one of them, reading it and then realizing that the people don't know what is contained in that volume because it's closed off from them, he basically decided this is what he was going to do to make this accessible to the people, so that, as he himself said, a plowman, as uneducated as he might be, would be able to know more of the scriptures than I suppose even the Pope would know. So that's how he committed himself to that for the rest of his life. Mm. He lived for it and died for it. Mm.
So it seems like we live in an age right now where people just take the Word of God for granted. We take for granted that we have so much access to Scripture. What do you think that William Tyndale and his life and his commitment to the translation and the teaching of God's Word, what kind of implications should that have for us today?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's just the realization that we need to have that he had, which is that God has spoken, and he has spoken through his word, that there's a way in which we can know about him through creation, but we can't know the way of salvation until we get to the scriptures. And that because God, by his spirit, not only gives us the scriptures through the prophets and so on, but also opens our eyes to understand the scriptures. Therefore, the scriptures ought to be in the languages of all the peoples of the earth, if they are going to know God and to know his salvation. There is no reason why we should continue having middlemen that people should trust with their souls. People should be able to read the Bible for themselves and trust in God for themselves. Mm. And that's something that therefore cannot be left to the 16th century. It is something that even today we should be fighting for. We should give our time, we should give our money, we should give the best of our sons and daughters to cross the oceans, go especially to those lands that are still lacking the word of God in their language, to spend their lives there, learning the languages that are there, turning them into written language. Most of them is still only spoken, and then translating the Bible so that they can have the Bible in their own language.
What does that look like in a place like Zambia? What's the progress of the availability of scripture? Are there language groups even within the country that may not have access to it, may not speak the mother tongue, the trade languages there? What does that look like in Zambia and maybe beyond in kind of that part of Africa?
Yeah, well, first of all, we must admit that with the coming of David Livingstone into our part of the world then got to know about the details that were up to that point a blank space on the world map. Hmm. And that then enabled missionaries to come in. Mm. And thankfully, at the end of the 19th century, going into the 20th century, those mission bodies and societies agreed to divide the languages among themselves, the major languages, so that they could concentrate on them. Mm. What that meant was that by the time we get into the middle of the 20th century, the major languages ended up having both the New Testament and the Old Testament together. However, they are the smaller languages that still only have the New Testament, and some don't even have both Testaments. So it is the fact that we need to be getting closer to the heart languages of those peoples. We do have translators who are working in the background, but they still need a lot of support so that their work can be made easier, especially with computer technology that's continuing to become more and more available. But still, you can't rule out the need for the human being there who's passionate about this process, who has something of the Tyndale DNA in their conversations.
Can you talk to me about that a little bit as well? Because I actually heard someone recently say, they were talking about technology and artificial intelligence, and they said, well, translation is a solved problem from a technological standpoint. But you made an important point there, that there might be tools that we can use, but that doesn't mean, you know, despite with all the technology, that doesn't mean we shouldn't still be sending individuals, even loved ones of our own, right, to some of these places to do the work.
Yes. We must never think that in gospel work, technology will replace human beings. It's a handy tool to have. There's no doubt about that. I mean, internet has been a great help, but internet alone won't plant churches and pastor churches. You still will need to have individuals on the ground, and then the internet is a great help. Computers, exactly the same way. You can have even Bible software on people's computers, but finally you still need to have individuals on the ground. It's exactly the same with the computer software, AI that's helping with translations and so on. You still will need to have that human being who is checking what is happening and so forth. Because there are always these nuances that go beyond simply words.
Yeah.
They relate to a bit of the culture. They relate to the environment. They relate to making sense that is beyond simply sort of mathematical and science approach. And so, yes, I know AI is also developing in that respect, but we still have quite some way to go.
So many years ago, probably 5 years ago, you came on our show. We talked about African tribal religion and basically how so much of Christianity in certain places of Africa kind of is just African tribal religion worked over. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. You wrote an article about that. We talked about that. What can you speak to that as far as what happens if you have Christianity without a deep rooting in the Word of God? Just kind of speaking to that a little bit of like why it's so crucial that we don't just see churches started and people evangelize, but don't give them the Word of God, because you've seen what happens when that doesn't happen.
Yes, yes. In fact, I completely forgot about being on the show and saying that.
We have that effect on people.
Yes, we're very memorable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I keep saying this over and over again because it's an epidemic back home. We have the privilege of being in what one could consider something of a revival in terms of people getting converted. Mm. Yes, south of the Sahara Desert, the church is multiplying at a very quick rate. But the difficulty is that most of the people who are then taking up the role of being preachers and teachers are people that know very little of real biblical teaching. Mm-hmm. And so they are parroting what they've picked up either on the internet, on TV, or even just from the pastors and church leaders that brought them to faith. And as a result, they are falling prey to syncretism at a very high level. And innocently so, because they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the need for training is huge, so that the people that are feeling or sensing the urge to become preachers and teachers and so on can be grounded. And that way they are anchoring in scripture sufficiently to avoid being swept away by the cultural religion, which in fact is what is really happening today, especially among the younger pastors, because they are mixing what they are seeing on the television, mm-hmm. Of the mega church kind of pastors and so forth. They're mixing that with the cultural African traditional religion, mm. with its pool through which doctors and medicine men and so on, and they're basically mixing this. It's pulling in the crowds quite okay, bringing the money in that sense, but they are not then preaching the true gospel, and they are not teaching believers what the Word of God really says about Christian life and living.
Is this because of access to the scriptures, or is it more because of just not being having the scriptures explained to them?
It's a bit of both, especially when you start going into rural areas, in the tribal areas. You tend to find that people, they may have one Bible, but that's like one Bible in an entire village. And it's in the hands of somebody who can then understand English and so on. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's need for more Bibles at that level. But we also need individuals that can explain the Bible. Because as you know, again, people can have the Bible, but they can have a very faulty hermeneutic, mm-hmm. their way of understanding the Bible, interpreting the Bible, would be perhaps something that follows the folklore that they have been listening to. So all they are doing is seeing perhaps a story of David and Goliath and Samson and so on. And those are all the passages they want to teach, because they are stories. And even then, they are teaching them purely in terms of, this is what he did, so you should do the same, instead of seeing Christ right. in all the scriptures.
What percent, you know, we talk about it in the American church a lot, and people will look at sub-Saharan Africa and other parts of the world as well, and they'll say, oh, look, there's this great revival of Christianity, and the faith is spreading like wildfire. But what percentage or what amount of the church do you see in your part of the world that's compromised or that's given into some of these syncretistic practices and assumptions versus those churches and pastors who really understand the gospel and they're pursuing sound doctrine? Is it a mix of both? Is it more one, or is it more the other? Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic about the health of the churches in sub-Saharan Africa in general?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm very optimistic. I am, and honestly so. I've traveled around quite a lot of sub-Saharan Africa. In fact, before coming to the U.S., I think I easily was in like maybe 6 countries, especially involved in launching a book that I've written, which has now been translated into a number of, I think about 7 languages on the African continent. So I've been traveling around and I have been very encouraged by the growth of what is happening. In terms of conversions, I think the graph continues to go up, but what encourages me even more is the number of people that are accessing sound Christian teaching through the internet. I think that for me is where I have the greatest joy, because people who at one time would have been easy prey for the same easy believism, modernism, African traditional religions under the guise of Christianity, the health and wealth gospel and so on, are now having opportunities to download sermons of people like MacArthur, Paul Washer, John Piper, and others. And as they are doing so, they are saying, hey, we've been cheated. You know, yeah. This is what seems to be lining up with the scriptures and so forth. So that's definitely been in an upswing. However, coming to percentages, in my part of the world, which is Central Southern Africa, 80% of the Africans claim to be Christians. Most of them are not, but there would be individuals that have aligned themselves to either Roman Catholicism or Protestantism by way of family religion. They grew up with that family background. They may not have been in church for the last 10, 15 years, but they still say they are Christian. Okay. Out of that, I would say maybe 10% would be in the context of a more sort of evangelical flavor. And so it's a lot lower, but still it's out there in the open. It's individuals that want other people to also become Christians and so forth. So we are living in a day of opportunity. Missiologists say that in the second half of this century, 1/3 of the population on the globe that claim to be Christians will be in Africa. Now, I'm not a missiologist in that sense. I'm a missiologist with respect to the theology rather than the statistics. But the more I see this upswing, the more I think that the extrapolation may be quite correct.
It's incredibly encouraging. Yeah.
Well, it brings its challenge inevitably to us, because we must prepare for that windfall. Otherwise, yeah, the Lord will hold us accountable that when we saw what was coming, we were not deliberately preparing for it in terms of, again, we talked about the scriptures being translated and also just raising up leaders who are solid, grounded in the scriptures and just generally in theology.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited that ABWE has begun work in Zambia. And over the past couple of years, we've been able to send multiple missionaries and people with a pastoral background to specifically seminary contexts to help teach and train pastors to see more of the type of reformation that you're talking about. Where would you encourage people go to learn more? Obviously, they can go to ABWE and learn about what we're doing in Zambia. And then you and your ministry and the ministries around, you know, the school, how can people learn more about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, we involved in the African Christian University, where there is Vodi Bokam, who's come to work with us. And so our website would be, just typing in, Googling African Christian University is one of them. Our own church has a website where all our messages are, and that's Kabwata Baptist Church. So that's another place they can go to. We also go under the ministry name Biblical Christianity. Wanted to emphasize the biblical side in a context where Christianity has become the common thing. Hmm. So that's another place that they can go to.
Wonderful. Very good.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we'll continue to bring you more content from Missionary. And you can also hear more of Brother Mbewe's talk when you go to the conference website. You'll be able to listen to those talks, I'm sure, after the fact. But we'll continue to bring you exclusive interviews and more from the Missions Podcast. You know, you can go to the Missions Podcast website, missionspodcast.com, to learn more, or go to abwe.org to learn more about our mission. We'll see you again soon on Missions Podcast.